It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours. Like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more. Made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
Stand up, Nuggets Nation. Denver Sports presents the Mile High Hoops Podcast with Zach Bye. Denver Sports is your home for the most Nuggets content. Now here's your host, Zach Bye.
What is up and welcome to another edition of the Mile High Hoops Podcast. As always, I am your host, Zach Bye. And as always, I appreciate you spending a sliver of your very busy day with me here on the pod, reacting to the courthouse where the Denver Nuggets have officially gone and adopted the Los Angeles Lakers as their sons. Yes, it's true. Full ownership. What is it? What is the opposite of, like, if you get emancipated, you get adopted. Yeah, they are the daddies of the Lakers. That's the way it's been. That's the way it continues to be. 8 wins in a row against those Lakers. And we talked about it last week. And I'm not going to spend too much time on the Laker game because at the time of recording, it's Tuesday afternoon, and we got a big boy game ahead of us here tonight, another one waiting for us on Thursday, and that game was played on Sunday evening. But what a fun way to close out, or excuse me, Saturday evening. What a fun way to put a exclamation point on Saturday night. A 124-114 victory over Los Angeles, another emotional night. You really couldn't make it up with how it stacked up with these games against Los Angeles, where, you know, they swept them in the Western Conference Finals. They come back. They have to play them on banner night and ring night, right? And you know about the conversations that AD and LeBron had. And so they come into Denver on ring night. They get their butts kicked. And then they have to turn around and play them it was Kobe statue night, right? Mamba night. Super emotional. Nuggets just so happened to be playing the Lakers on that night, beat them that night. And then, as just fortuitous as it could get, LeBron James on the precipice, he was like 9 points away, I think it was, from 40,000. Now, he's already the all-time leading scorer in the NBA, so he's not passing anyone. He's just hitting a nice big round number. It's never been done. I get why there was hype behind it. It's LeBron. It's the Lakers. But there's 3 instances where there was an added layer to the game, and the Nuggets have won all 3. Again, you're talking 8 wins in a row against Los Angeles, longest winning streak in the history of the rivalry for the Denver side, a side who couldn't beat the Lakers forever. I mean, generations. There were generations of Nuggets fans who never saw it this one-sided, but this is the era that we're living in. And when I talk about the Lakers, I really don't think that was like some big litmus test game. You know, you just can't look at the uniform and the career accomplishment of LeBron, or to a lesser degree, Anthony Davis, and build it up to a challenge that it's not currently. The Lakers are a middling team. You know, they are a middling basketball team that don't have enough winning players, that are not in the championship picture. I'm sorry. I know they made it to the Western Conference Finals a year ago, and I know national media will keep them in the spotlight because they do move the needle from a rating standpoint. It's just the way it is. But they're not a real contender. They're just not. The Nuggets are simply better. They have the best player every time they take the floor. They have the better starting five. They have a better just overall a continuity and process and a culture and all that. That checks up and down for the Denver Nuggets. So I wasn't shocked at all. And I'm also not viewing that game as some big referendum. I have the same big picture views on the Denver Nuggets that I had before the game ever tipped off. The Nuggets are freaking humming, you guys. 6-0 out of the All-Star break. All right. 5 of the 6 wins have been beatdowns. That's the thing here. Like, Denver is blowing teams out. I want to just get to a few notes from that game before we look ahead to the Suns matchup on Tuesday evening, and then an even bigger boy matchup waiting for us on Thursday evening against the Boston Celtics, which we'll have some time to talk about that on Thursday. But this game, as great as it was for a few people, none better than Michael Porter Jr., who I think you could argue has put together the best week of his best regular season week of his career. I think you could fairly make that argument. You'd really have to go back and take a deep dive. There was some games, there was some weeks that second season when MPJ was averaging 19 points a game that were really good. But you look at the Portland game on Friday night on February 23rd, where he scored 34 points. That was without Jamal Murray. He stepped up in a way, in a meaningful way that he really hadn't in the past. That not that he never did, but more oftentimes than not, he was not able to answer that bell. That was the case. Now he followed up with a 9-point performance on a Sunday against the Warriors, and then it was 30 points against the Miami Heat in the NBA Finals rematch. Was lucky enough to be at that game. Shout out a few of our listeners who were there and said what's up. And then following it up with a 25-point performance against the Lakers. So between the 34 against Portland, the 30 against Miami, and the 25 against the Lakers, it was just a big week. But the way that the 25-point game came is one of the rarest in NBA history, quite literally. Michael Porter Jr. became the first player in the history of NBA basketball to attempt 10 or more field goals, 5 or more threes, and not miss a shot, 100% from the field and from three. Just an incredible, incredible night, but it's more than just the scoring. Michael Porter Jr. is, rounding into, I don't want to get carried away and say like complete polished player, but he's inching closer to that. I don't know if he's ever going to be there defensively or what have you, but I'll just stick with the rebounding. The way he is on the glass right now currently, just in the last 2 weeks, coming out of the All-Star break, these are Michael Porter Jr. rebounding numbers. 11 rebounds against the Wizards, 12 against the Blazers. He had 7 against Golden State on that night where he struggled, so he's doing other stuff besides just shooting it. 5 against Sacramento, 11 against Miami, 10 against the Lakers. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4 out of the last 6 games. Michael Porter Jr. has been in double figures on the glass, and I just think that's massive. Also, 7 assists in the last 2 games. If you haven't followed Michael Porter Jr. as closely as I have, that might not sound like a big deal. I'm here to tell you it is. Michael Porter Jr. has struggled. I don't want to say even struggle being a distributor, but he's just been so singular minded with scoring the basketball. That's not something that has been a big part of his game at all. But he's averaging 1.5 assists per game. That's up a full half assist per game. So you love to see it. I don't want to get carried away with the effusive praise on the assists because it just is what it is. But it's growth, right? It's growth. And I think that's the big point here with Michael Porter Jr. And he's out of that rut. He's out of that slump. And I absolutely love to see it. You can draw a straight line between Michael Porter Jr.'s success and the Nuggets' success. You really can. MPJ has 40 double-doubles in his career. You know what the Nuggets' record is when Michael Porter Jr. has a double-double? So I just told you there's 40 of them in his career. You know what their record is? 32-8. That's extreme. All right, that's sharp contrast. Love to see it. When he scores 30 or more, all right, it's happened 14 times in his career. The Denver Nuggets are 12-2 in those games. All right, so since the All-Star break, this guy has been great. Since the break in 6 games, he is shooting 50% from the floor, 43% from three, and 100% from the free throw line. Has not missed a free throw. So absolutely love to see that from Michael Porter Jr. Shout out the folks who didn't empty their stock. I've had conversations like talking my co-host off a ledge, Philip Lindsay, former Pro Bowl running back who's doing this job for the first time. And he's just like, watching in, January, or better part of February, just getting, drove mad. And I got it. But I've just tried to just wait. And we react to some of the frustrating moments right here on this podcast, on the radio show. But I think you're seeing the best of Michael Porter Jr. this last week and a half. And hopefully that continues on Tuesday night against the Phoenix Suns, where MPJ was in double figures in five of the six games against Phoenix during the playoff run, averaged about 13 points a game in that second round series a year ago. Real quick, just to double back and look at Jokic's performance against the Lakers, 35 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists. Just like he does not see Anthony Davis anymore. And that's one of the best defenders in the NBA. And they're playing that role where, you know, Rui Hachimura is on Jokic and then, you know, AD gets to roam off of Jokic. And it's just not, there's no winning formula against Jokic. So you have to try stuff like this. And, you know, we saw this a bit last year in the playoffs. And, you know, it was like one game where it was, you know, effective. Mostly effective. You're never going to shut down Jokic, but it was mostly effective. And it was served as like some referendum, like, oh, now the Lakers have the formula. Let's pump the brakes on that. So it was fantastic to see. And, you know, Aaron Gordon, 18 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists was phenomenal. And you're seeing that that lob from the mid post to Jokic turn into the dagger. The knockout punch, the Mike Tyson uppercut to finish games, you're seeing a lot. And especially here recently, it's such a fun combination. And it's such a, it's not just a bucket. It feels like a knockout punch. And then Jamal Murray, you know, who 24 points, wasn't the most efficient night, 1 of 5 from 3, but had 11 assists to just 2 turnovers. And in crunch time, it's like, this is why it doesn't almost even matter what the score is for 43 minutes. Those last 5 minutes are so impactful from an execution standpoint. And I'll return to, you know, a phrase that I said about a month ago. The Nuggets have the keys and they have the codes. And when it comes to winning time, you're seeing the and this is why the traditional arc of champions, it's a climb, and the lessons you learn on that climb, and then when you get to the tippy top and unlock it and know exactly what it's going to take, how just beneficial it is to see winning players make winning plays during winning time, right? The Nuggets are the best clutch team in the NBA once again, and you're seeing it on a weekly basis. And now, you take a look big picture, Nuggets are in the 3 seed. They are just a half game back of the number 1 overall seed. Timberwolves almost messed around and lost in Portland. That would have been fun. Oklahoma City is coming off of a loss. So now OKC and the Denver Nuggets have the exact same record. Oklahoma City has the tiebreaker. But the Nuggets are surging. And, you know, they're right there in striking distance of that top seed. Historically, you take a look at the last in the sample size, let's go back 10 years. And right now, just to emphasize, Nuggets are the 3rd seed, half game back of the number 1 seed. The last 10 NBA champions, this is what their seeds were. The number 1 seed, the 3rd seed, the 3rd seed, the number 1 seed, the 2nd seed, the 2nd seed, the 2nd seed, the 1st seed, the 1st seed, the 1st seed, and the 1st seed. So it's pretty impactful, right? More oftentimes than not. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of the last 10 NBA champions were the number 1 seed. Is it necessary? No. Being a top 3 seed is, and the Nuggets are right perfectly in that range. And I feel comfortable definitely saying that they're going to finish with the top 3 seed. But as we get closer, now that they're this close, if they keep surging like this, just go get the 1 seed and have home court throughout the NBA playoffs. And then we'll see what it looks like against Boston. And boy, that matchup is waiting on Thursday night. All right, we're going to get out of here. Before we do, prediction on the game for Tuesday night. Phoenix Suns, 8 o'clock on TNT. Maybe by the time you hear this, the game had been played. Maybe not. At the time of this podcast, the Suns had lost 2 in a row. They lost to Oklahoma City. They lost to Houston. They're a 35-26 team. They're currently the 6th team in the Western Conference. We know the Nuggets won that best of 7 series in 6 games last year in that second round. And I like this matchup this evening. I think the Nuggets are going to win. I think they're going to win their 7th in a row coming out of the break. The Suns, they're just an average road team. It's a 3rd game in 4 nights. No Devin Booker with that rolled ankle. Josh Okogie's not going to play. Damian Lee's not going to play. There's one more I'm missing role player that's not going to play. But they're missing like 45 points between Booker and some of their role players. I just think it's too much to ask. Coming into altitude, third game in four nights against the best Western Conference home team, I think the Denver Nuggets continue to step their foot on the gas and stay unbeaten coming out of the All-Star break. Guys, we're going to leave it there for now. Thank you for being here. If you're listening to this on Spotify, where you're able to rate, you think we deserve 5 stars, would love that. Tell a friend. If you're watching this on YouTube, subscribe. Turn the notifications on so you never miss a video. Leave a comment. Love to see the interaction and just really appreciate you being here with me. And whatever happens on Tuesday night on national TV in a playoff rematch against the Phoenix Suns, you already know we're going to be back here on Thursday talking about it on the Mile High Hoops podcast.
Whether you need new appliances for your kitchen, laundry room, or outdoor cooking space, family-owned and operated Mountain High Appliance has you covered. I'm Brad Barnett, president of Mountain High Appliance. As Colorado's number one choice for appliances for the past 30 years, we offer professional delivery and installation and state-of-the-art showrooms where you can try before you buy. Plus, you're guaranteed the best price with our price match guarantee. When you think appliances, think Mountain High Appliance.
Mountain High Appliance, your favorite appliance store.
Thank you.